Welcome to the Beamsfeld Church of Christ online ministry. This week's message is titled, The Lordship of Jesus. Thank you to Earl, Paul, Caro, and Don for being part of the video. The scripture reading is John 20, 24 to 31.
Good morning. Wish to welcome everyone here this morning. As we meet together to worship, we'll begin, though, with a few announcements this morning. Birthdays. Joe. She's not here? Okay. Well, anyway, please wish her a happy birthday from all of us. Anna. She is going to be baptized, and everyone is welcome. And this is on Thursday at the Family Worship Center, 4281 Queen Street. Prayer request, very sad to note this, that Lindsay's husband Daniel passed away this week, and there will be a celebration of life which will be streamed on Facebook, and the link is on our bulletin page, and you can look at that on our website. A few other announcements. as some of you know, I'm in charge of benevolence, and we do give money each year to community care. We give about $1,200 out of our budget, but then we give an additional $1,200, and so that money will be given to community care this week. Usually it's to help with the Christmas baskets that but this year especially, there's a huge need in our community. And so we want to do one better than that, just give money to help restock shelves. The reality is that there are specific families in the community, and they have a profile, a card, and it lists how many children and the age of the children, etc. So Tina has volunteered that she's going to go over this week and get a couple of profile cards, and we'll give you more information next week about how you can help fill those hampers over the next month. And then they'll be delivered to community care to help those two specific families. This is it's a double whammy, if you will, that donations are down because people are struggling themselves with inflation of food, but the needs are up. And so perhaps we've decided that we should step up a little bit for people in our community. And so we appreciate her initiative in going to get a couple of cards, and we'll give you more information. And what will happen likely is a sheet will go down beside the boxes in the fellowship hall, and there'll be a sheet there, and you might tick off three or four items, and that way there's not a lot of overlap, and we make sure that everything gets covered on the list. So we'll give you more details about that next week. Anyway, we're here to worship God. We thank Him for all of the goodness in our lives, and we pray that our time together will be beneficial. Let's go to Him in prayer. Our Father, we thank You for the love that prompted You to send Jesus into this world. We thank You for His concern for mankind, that He would come and humble Himself, leave the glories of heaven to come and live on this earth. We thank You that He would ultimately, though, have a purpose in His coming, which was to go to the cross, to take on the sins of mankind so that we might have redemption and a promise of a hope with You throughout eternity. We can't describe our gratitude for this. Words fail us to understand, to comprehend, and to acknowledge Your greatness, Your love, and Your concern for mankind. And so this morning, Father, as we meet together, we want to give You praise for these wonderful gifts. We want to give You the honor and the glory, and we pray that You will accept our worship. Help us to be encouraged by each other's presence this morning. We pray that You will be with Don as he speaks to us. We thank You for this congregation. We thank You for the students that are part of our congregation. We thank You for the talents, gifts, and abilities of everyone. And we pray that you would help us to spur each other on to love and good works. Is our prayer in Christ's name. Amen.
So 20 years ago or so, I had a job that was the type of job, some of you have had similar, where if the next person for the next shift didn't show up for whatever reason, you couldn't just leave. There were people I was taking care of, and you can't just put the papers on the desk and leave them there and come back the next day and pick them up and say, okay, I'll take where I left off. No, not an option. So one day, one week, I was a relief worker, so I had random hours. I had already gone over the 40-hour mark, so I was making time and a half for overtime. And then stat holiday was the next day, and the person who was supposed to come the next shift, for whatever reason, didn't show up. And so I was stuck there through the night. And one of my coworkers asked me, and this is where I came up with one of my favorite phrases, well, how you feeling? Are you good? And I thought about it for a while, and I thought, well, no, but it will be good to have done this. Especially given overtime plus stat holiday pay, it will be have good to have done this, but right now, it's not so good. I think in a lot of ways, as we gather around the Lord's Supper, as we think and meditate and remember, we are kind of in that process of remembering that process of getting to the place where we are, it is good to have done this. And we're meditating on that place. And it can be a somewhat uncomfortable place to be. So join with me as we read from John chapter 16, starting at 16. Jesus went on to say, in a little while, you will see me no more, and then after a little while, you will see me. At this, some of his disciples said to one another, what does he mean by saying, in a little while, you will see me no more, and then after a little while, you will see me, and because I am going to the Father? They kept asking, what does this mean by a little while? We don't understand what he is saying. Jesus saw that they wanted to ask him about this, so he said to them, are you asking one another what I meant when I said, a little while you will see me no more, and after a little while you will see me? Very truly I tell you, you will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. You will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy. A woman giving birth to a child has pain because her time has come, but when her baby is born, she forgets the anguish because of her joy that a child is born into the world. So it is with you. Now is your time of grief, but I will see you again and you will rejoice. And no one will take away your joy. But in that day, you will no longer ask me anything. Very truly, I tell you, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. Though I have been speaking figuratively, a time will come when I will no longer use this kind of language, but I will tell you plainly about my Father. In that day, you will ask in my name. I am not saying that my Father will ask on your behalf. No, the Father himself loves you because you have loved me, and I believed that I came from God. I came from the Father and entered the world. Now I am leaving the world and going back to the Father. We follow the same pattern of experience that the disciples went through every remembrance of the Lord's Supper. We remember, think about, feel the loss of Jesus, his death, the tragedy of the Son of God, creator of the world, being executed by that very same world. Speaking personally, the grief of the fact that my sin is part of why this happened. We also then journey into the joy of his resurrection. We remember the wonder, the amazing power, the surprise that Jesus conquered death itself. We worship as a result, but even more that, the general concept, but also that the conquering of death means that sin, my sin, has been conquered too. I, through the following of Christ, through his death, resurrection, no longer am enslaved by my sin. I am now free to live a holy life. I am free to ask God, and he will give. Another reason to worship, to be joyful, to meditate. The world will try to derail us on this journey. Our own sinful desires may try to get in the way. It is not generally a human nature thing to look realistically at our own ultimate failings. It's not very comfortable. We may at times be scattered. which is why Jesus ends with this encouragement whilst we go through this journey. 33, I have told you these things so that you may also have peace. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. But notice we skipped 31, 32. What if we fail? What if the pressures of the world are too much? Verse 31, do you now believe, Jesus replied? A time is coming and in fact has come while you will be scattered. Each one will go to his own home. You will leave me all alone, yet I am not alone, for my Father is with me. During this journey of grief and joy, both during the Lord's Supper and generally in our faith journey, what if we find ourselves scattered, feeling scattered, whether from our own doing or from some external pressure? But Jesus' encouragement actually comes after 31:32. Even if we're scattered, this applies to us. I have told you these things that you may have peace. So the world, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Today I encourage us to journey into this loss of Christ on the cross and then into the empty room of the resurrection. We may experience trouble in this world. We may be scattered. We may feel scattered. But remember, we have the peace of Christ who conquered death. Jesus has overcome the world. The world put him to death, yet he prevailed. He has proven that he has the power to bring us peace, no matter where we are in life. Let's go to God in prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for giving us. Thank you for being with us this morning. Thank you for giving your son. Thank you for giving of his body, his blood. Lord, help us as we journey to that cross and to that tomb. Help us to remember both the grief, the loss, but also the joy and the resurrection. Lord, help us to be a people who have remembered well and help us to live like it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. Today's reading is from John chapter 20, verse 24 to 31. And it says, now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came in and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here, see my hands, reach out your hand and put it in my side. Stop doubting and believe. Jesus said to him, my Lord and my God. Then Jesus told him, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name.
Morning, everybody. Morning. Thank you for being with us today. This coming Saturday is Remembrance Day, so I will have a Remembrance Day sermon next Sunday. Today I want to spend some time talking about the Lordship of Jesus. Jesus is who he said He is, not was, but is. He is as much alive today as ever, especially in our hearts. Isn't that true? So two friends were discussing various faiths. A Hindu person said that we have a variety of gods. And without being pretentious, the Christian responded, "Yes, you have a variety of gods, but how many of the gods have an empty tomb?" The Apostle Peter said in Acts 2, "Men and women of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which he did among you, as you yourselves know. He was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, for it was impossible for death to have his grasp on him." And then in Revelation, John writes these words, speaking of Jesus, "I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in." And that's still as true today as it was there. If anyone hears my voice and opens our heart, Jesus will come in and sup with us, eat with us, sing with us, be part of us. It's amazing what Jesus is always doing every second of the day in each of our lives. Now, many of the miracles done by Jesus is and was, even to this day, for our benefit. To demonstrate that, he is Lord, he is Christ, he is Savior, he is Messiah, and he is in union with God. So, John, the wonderful John, who writes Revelation and his own gospel and several other letters as well, says these words: "Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, and they aren't recorded in this book," which gave me pause. You mean there's more? There are more parables? There are things that... So one of the things that I want to do, and maybe you too, when we get to heaven and see Jesus, tell me everything. I want to know everything. Tell me it all. Because some of the things are not recorded in this book. But the reason that they're in this book, listen now, is that we might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. It's incredible. In other words, we belong to Jesus, and he with us. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and us. We're not separated. It's the coming together constantly. We all have had bad days. We've all said things we're ashamed of. We've done things we shouldn't have done. But if we could remember, there is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, who lives inside of us, always encouraging us, always letting us know that we are loved. So John writes down what Jesus said about himself. In John 6, he says this: "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you don't believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him that sent me, that I shall lose none of all that he has given me, but raise them up at that last day. And I think that's speaking of us, even though it was written 2,000 years ago. This is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of us, none of us. And that he has given me himself, and that we will be raised up at that last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son, meaning Jesus, and believes in him shall have eternal life and will be raised up on that last day, when that day occurs. And then in chapter 6, again in John, Jesus didn't do this very often, but he reprimanded some who didn't believe in what Jesus was saying. And Jesus, I think probably in a curt voice, said these words, "Stop grumbling and complaining." I think Jesus probably said it that way. Not some soft little thing, but saying, stop it. You've got to stop it. Stop your grumbling. Stop your complaining among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father God sent me, draws him, and I will raise them up at that last day. I will raise them up at that last day. That's us. That's us. And for the centuries that have passed, and people who have passed, we'll be part of that. And one day, how heaven and earth will come together as one, living together as one. So let's notice some of the miracles that Jesus created. Now, miracles aren't there for just miracles. They're there to demonstrate this is the will of God. This is the will of Jesus. So let me just read some of this to you. In John 2, on the third day, this is really cool. First of all, how many have been to a wedding reception? Just raise your hand if you've been. Okay, that's just about everybody. So if you want to think about that a little bit, let me just share with you what happened on this. And some of you know this already, but it's one of the cool things, one of the many cool things in the Bible. On the third day, a wedding took place in Cana and in Galilee. Jesus's mother, Mary, was there. And Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. And when the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to Jesus, "They have no more wine." And Jesus replies to her, "Dear woman, dear mother, why do you involve me in this? My time has not yet come." And Jesus' mother, Mary, said to the servants, I think with a smile and a wink, "Do whatever he tells you to do." Nearby stood 6 stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing. Listen to this. Each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. That's a lot. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water so they'll be filled to the brim." And then Jesus told them, "Now draw some of that out and take it to the master of the banquet." And they did so. And the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. Gallons and gallons of wine. They did so. They tasted the water that had been turned into wine, and he didn't realize where it had come from. Where did all this wine come from? Though the servants who had drawn the water knew. So the servants go, and they see, here's all these jars of water. We'll go and get, oh, there is no more water. It's all wine. It's all wine. bridegroom, then he called the bride and the groom aside and said, everyone brings out the choice wine first and the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the very best till now. If you ever feel that you're not very important, may I say that God disagrees with that. Listen to these words. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you? You and I, difficult to believe, but please just let it process into you. Let it process into you. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Holy Spirit lives in you? He is pouring himself out into our lives even when we don't know that it's happening. And even though God can control all things, he doesn't control us as robots. He gives us free will. And Satan wants to take that free will away. God's patience with us is overwhelming. Oh God, I sinned. Yeah, you did. You did. But I'm with you. God, I made a mistake. Bad mistake. Yeah, you did. But I'm with you. Because I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. You are my child forever. So God's patience is overwhelming. In 2 Peter, he says, don't forget this one thing, my friends. With the day, it's like 1,000 years. And 1,000 years is a day. Time doesn't hamper God. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, or I should say promises, as some understand slowness. But God is patient with us. He's patient with you and with me. He's patient with us, not wanting anyone to perish. But listen, but everyone, everyone to come to repentance. And then in verse 13, he says, but in keeping with the promise of God, catch this, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth called the home of righteousness. Heaven and earth becoming one. Here it is for all. Jesus never forgets us. He never forgets our loved ones. His promise to us constantly is newness. Over and over again, Jesus, God, and the Holy Spirit promise that all things one day will be completely new. Those things that have hampered us, whether it be illness or anything else, will be gone. And it's unique. Listen to this. Genesis is the beginning of all things. Revelation is the continuing of all new things. When God begins in Genesis, he unites in Revelation. All things become new. We will be with our loved ones. No more death. No more crying. No more pain. All things will become new. Those aching pains that you have, those negative thoughts that you have, these difficulties that you have, gone. It's a comfort, I think, for all of us. N.T. Wright says this, and so well. What is the word hope? What does hope mean? He says this, hope is what you get when you suddenly realize that a different worldview is possible. A worldview in which the greedy, the powerful, and the unscrupulous do not, after all, have the last word. This new world shift by the resurrection of Jesus is the world shift enabling us to transform all the world and each of us, each and every one of us. And you and I are going to be part of it. Please listen to these concluding words that, again, you and I will be part of. Then I saw a new heaven, and I saw a new earth. And then I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven. Not us going up, but the joining together of heaven and earth. And I heard a loud voice from the throne in heaven saying these words, "Now the dwelling of God is with you, and God will live with you, and we will live with him. Not only that, he will wipe every tear from our eyes. He promises there will be no more death, no more mourning, no more crying, no more pain,